Bro, did you see Dune?
I did actually. Yeah, I
Hold
did.
On.
I did go see it.
No spoilers, no spoilers. But how'd you feel about it, bro?
Nah, it was cool. It was good. It was good. I mean,
just cool?
No. Yeah. It was cool. Like, I mean, I didn't watch the one right before it, so I had to watch something real quick to get some reminders. But I mean, it was the action was crazy. I was like still trying to piece together the story throughout it, but I feel like I was understanding what was going on. So definitely like where the story is heading, where it's going. And I think it's going to be a good series overall. I mean, I don't know if I'm going to say it was like Dark Knight. Like Dark Knight is just so simple and easy, you know?
Well, because you already know the story of Batman. That's what I think it is too.
Exactly. But no, it's a great movie.
No, I just feel like it's on, I think it's the same level. I said Dark Knight. I feel like Dune, same level as the Dark Knight, same level as Shrek 2, as Back to the Future 2, as Spider-Man 2. It's one of the best sequels of all time. In comparison to its first movie and how it builds on top of that is insane. And like the first movie was super slow and really led up to the second one. But like, it was,
I almost gave away something right now, but the third one is gonna be great.
No, like yeah, yeah.
Based on,
I think it's gonna keep on getting better and better. And it like it really is like an epic like type cinema movie, like adventure movie, like Lord of the Rings,
yeah,
and like Star Wars. And it's pretty dope that like we've been able to get that. Like it's pretty dope that people are excited to go to the movie theater, because I've been to the movie theater like 7 times since I've been in New York, maybe
Marvel trash right now, bro. Madam Web.
Oh, that ain't even really Marvel though. That's Sony. That ain't even really Marvel though. But yeah, they said that one's garbage, bro. But let's get into it. I'm Joshua Potts, Mr. Possible, always with the bread of the same mother, Aaron Potts, Super Hot Potts, and you're watching and listening to your favorite two black runners every single
two black two. Back again, actually on a Tuesday, this time.
Tell them.
Coming off a big weekend, bro. Ran 17 miles this weekend, feeling good, feeling ready. I mean, my longest run ever is 18. And that 17 didn't really feel too bad. But a lot of track outside of what I got going on. We coming off of World Indoors. A lot of big things, a little beefs of brewing. We're at a good point in the year.
No, yeah, World Indoor got us excited, got everyone excited. And as we recap World Indoors, we're not just going to give you the simple recap, go through everything. Nah, because I had some passionate things that I really got to get off my chest about the World Athletics Indoor Championships in Glasgow this year, Aaron. I got 5 things I loved about World Indoors and 5 things, well, actually 4 things that I hated about World Indoors.
All right, let's hear them. What you hate? What you love? What you hate?
Let me go through the 5 loved at first, bro. 5 things that I love to see at the World Athletics Indoor Championship, starting off with USA surprising in the mid distances. Like, bro, wasn't that just lovely?
It was
like
good to
Stevie
see.
Wonder. That was just lovely. You feel me? First off, Ellie St. Pierre getting the win over Gudolf Sege. I told you, Aaron. Did I not?
You're right. No, you know what? I gotta say, you know, I apologize. I didn't. What did Shaq say? I apologize. I did not recognize
I didn't know your game. I didn't know your game. Know Come your on, game. Bro.
No, but I gotta.
Mommy power.
Mommy power, straight up. You know, she ran an amazing race too. How she just placed herself throughout it, and then timed that kick, because Gudolf is a 10K, 5K type of athlete. So Ellie did have that advantage, and she just played it perfect. She played it perfect, and she showed 100% that she still is a world level athlete. She's someone. What is she gonna do on the 15? The 15 is so stacked worldwide on the women's, with people like Stefan Hassan and Faith Kipyegon. So what does this mean for the story of the USA women going into the Olympics? And I think it's great that Ellie finished so well. It's good to see that she's back.
Yeah, and the crazy thing is that plot really thickens and really got me even more excited about the U.S. mid-distances, because after that performance, the U.S. 1500 meter field on the women's side gets even more stacked when you see the likes of Nikki Hiltz and Emily McKay finishing second and third in the 1500 meters. Like,
I loved Emily McKay. I loved what she did. That last, was that like 400 to go, when she just took off. That was such a boss move, and it's really what secured her medal. So it's great to see Nikki and McKay just being competitive at this stage. Gives you so much confidence. And really big shout out to McKay, who I feel like a lot of people probably weren't recognizing before this, but I do think this means a lot for her.
And before we go on to the other mid-distances too, I want to talk about Ellie St. Pierre. Ellie St. Pierre, well, let's just talk about the 1500 for a second. Like, who is the favorite? Nikki has been dominant over the U.S. for the past year and a half, hasn't lost a U.S. championship. I'm talking about from the roads and anywhere else. But now Ellie St. Pierre is back in the mix after her pregnancy. Last time she was at a world stage and really competed well was 2021, when she got 10th place in the Olympics. 2022, she was out in the semifinal, but I believe she was dealing with some injuries and the pregnancy, and it just wasn't running that well in 2022. Is Ellie St. Pierre? I feel like Ellie and Nikki are locks for this team now. But now you still have Corey McGee, you still have Sinclair Johnson, and then you have Emily McKay running super well. Addie Wiley had her first world experience on the world stage. Caitlin Tui may be in the mix. Like,
yeah,
it's competitive.
That's literally, when you said Ellie and Nikki, the next person that came to my mind was Sinclair. Because back in 2022, with Sinclair, looked like she was ascending to be the favorite, and she was next up and it's her time. But since then, we've seen Nikki ascend, and they have became that person who is the favorite. And now Ellie is back, and you never could count out Corey McGee. Corey McGee makes teams. She has done it over and over and over since, like, am I saying 2016? Since Rio? Yeah, since she was in college?
Yeah, something like that.
So it's really exciting, and it's competitive. And we have seen progression. Whereas, yes, we still have, like, Sinclair is relatively young, but we've seen Corey McGee, Ellie, Nikki, we've seen them progress over the years and get better and better on this world stage versus the men, who it's a very young team right now. So it is interesting to, when you really look at it from a bird's eye view like that.
Yeah, it's a young team, but I really feel like this team that we're gonna bring to the Olympics, like, they're smart, bro. And they all ran really good races. I don't know. Some people may say Yard ran a bad race, but we'll get to that. Yard the Goose finished second place in the 3,000 meter, 743. Hobbs Kessler and Cole Hawker. Cole Hawker was second in the 1,500 meter. Hobbs Kessler was third, they almost won it. Jordy Beamish coming out of nowhere and stealing that in the 1,500 meters. Then the 800, probably, this has to be the biggest surprise of the meet. I don't know, but the 800 was wide open as well. You could argue that. Bryce Hopple winning the 800 meter in a world-leading 144.92. Like, the guys went out there and dominated, Aaron. Like, they had they had their hands in the cookie jar and everything.
Yeah, and like I said, I'm saying this based off of conversations that we've had with elite athletes on this podcast, and going over internet into international seas and competing well and doing good does a lot for your confidence and a ton for your experience. So I think it's really big that Bryce Hopple got the win. You know, I I even just remember talking to like Isaiah before after a meet where he PR'd and Duke did, and he was like, bro, but I need to start winning races. Like, I need to start winning races. So, because winning is a habit, you know what I mean? And then you start going into races, like everyone thinks that they're going to win, of course, right? Especially at that level. But when you start doing it over and over and over, you start getting to a rhythm of like your instincts and knowing where you should be and all of those things, they start aligning. So I think that was really big for Bryce Hopple. Cole, I could tell, was disappointed by that second place. But when we talk about the young boy, am I forgetting right now?
Hobbs Kessler.
When we talk about Hobbs Kessler, the way he ran that race, putting himself in position and leading for a lot of it, or being up there in that front mix and having that confidence, huge, 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 great day for him.
Bro, can I say low key? Hold on. Can I say this?
Yeah.
Centro-esque.
You saying how he raced?
Didn't that look like Rio?
A little bit. I know. I mean, yeah, they didn't run very fast. It was the indoor meet, but yeah. No, yeah, I know what you mean. But I also feel like, I don't know, is this hot take? I feel like we kind of like slept on Hobbs Kessler. Like, I don't know.
I haven't, bro. I think people, slept on him.
You forgot about him a little bit.
Yeah. But I think people slept on him. They're all like, bro, he won the world running mile, bro. That doesn't mean nothing. Nah, bro. That meant something. I'm telling you, that meant something.
You said
Wang
is,
bro.
You're right. Like, he went out there like he was a winner.
And like the thing, I really do think this was a really smart runner. Like, and you talked about that on the podcast before in some conversation. I think he's a really intelligent runner. I think he thinks about this differently. And like, he has a confidence within himself that other people don't. And the fact that he went out, he led that entire thing, bro. Like, Samuel Teixeira has won back-to-back world indoor championships, and Hobbs Kessler sunned him.
What's going on in the men's 15, though? Because you got this boy, he's only 20 years old. You got the homie over in Australia who's like 17, running 3:33. Yeah, we had the raise of, because like, why aren't we talking about Hobbs Kessler like we were talking about Jakob at that age? I mean, I got to look back. Jakob may have, he was crazy at 20, but you know, he's not that far away from age from Jakob, and neither is Cole Hawker, and neither is Yard. I mean, I guess Yard's a little bit older than him, but there's a renaissance happening in the men's 1500, and everyone, like I said last year, everyone was like, Jakob's going to break the world record. Yeah, maybe he will, but if he don't, like, there's some guys that are right on him, and they're the same age as him. They're going to be around with him his whole entire career, so men's 1500, we're just in for a treat over the next couple of years.
Yeah, and I think the biggest treat with that is that two of the most competitive guys in the world didn't even run the 1500 at this race. They ran an off event, Josh Kerr and Yart Nagoose. I expected a faster race, to be honest, but it was still competitive. It was still, they went for it, but Yart Nagoose getting second place, I think that's big for him going forward on the US scene. But Josh Kerr, like, he's a top guy. He is a top guy, like one of the best. He's putting himself in that category as one of the best to do it. We're going to remember his name as well.
No, most definitely. Josh Kerr, he's definitely at the top right now. You talk about middle distance, you're going to name Jakob and Josh. That's the rivalry. The spotlight is on them. There's other guys that are right there with them. But I think Josh Kerr is also just the star, the way he carries himself, the confidence that he has when he runs, his reactions after he finishes races. He's someone that, you know, you just are entertained whenever he steps on to the track. And it's been cool to just see his career develop over the past, you know, since college. In college, he was a phenom. He had the NCAA record at one point. And yeah, it's just been cool. It's been cool to see him it seems like he gets a little bit better every single year and adds a new tool to his arsenal.
All right, second thing I loved to see at the World Indoor Athletics Championships was NPC Sports and World Athletics, their coverage on social. I really liked it this year, bro. They did a lot of different things. They started a podcast, you feel me, with Sonya Richards Ross. They had the commentators, Paul Swangard, Kara Goucher, Otto Bolden, Trey Hardy. They were on Instagram giving their takes on the races and everything. You already know World Athletics has been stepping up their social game as well. I just feel like they're doing a lot of different innovative things. Now, I think people want to see the World Indoor Athletic Championships on NBC and not CNBC. But the coverage I saw from the meet, like from my phone, I could have literally just watched the entire meet through social. And I think that's something that's big, that's something that's shareable. And just even the interaction of seeing the commentators like during the meet talking about it, I thought was dope. So I want to give my hat off to World Athletics, to NBC, because I feel like they've been listening to the podcast. I feel like they've been taking advice from us. And thank you for that.
You know, they've been taking advice from us, but let's give a shout out to everyone who is in this media space that has been putting in the work since like 2019 till now. This is a direct result of everyone that creates content on social media and things like that. Some people might be like, yo, they're taking our ideas or whatever, but I don't really see it. I don't really see it like that. I feel like they're doing what's necessary to connect to fans. Like, that's where people are coming to consume like sports content generally. So the fact that, you know, they're trying these new things that are generated through social media is ultimately good for the sport, and it's going to capture the eye of the young fan and young consumer. So I think they're on the right track. I would love to keep on seeing them doing that and seeing them get more athletes involved. But World Athletics has honestly on Instagram been doing great for the past like 2 years with a lot of the stuff they've been trying.
Yeah, but shout out to all the people. Shout out to Sidious. Sidious is doing great work. You feel me? All these people, we've been putting pressure on their neck, and like, you got to respond at some point, and they've done that. This man right here, my number third thing that I love from World Indoors, Christian Coleman, the GOAT. He had all the pressure on him, but he came out 60 meter. I love to see that Christian Coleman is submitting himself as the GOAT in the 60 meter dash. He went out there and was all like, put his hands up, said, yeah, I do that.
Yeah, I'm happy he won, because like the plot armor was getting to be a little much. It was like y'all making this man OP. Like, you know what I'm saying? Off the plot armor. It was a little too much, you know? Then they throw in the 4x4 and stuff. We'll talk about that. But I was like, it was getting to be a little, I was like, all right. So I'm happy that, you know, we needed that. So thank you, Christian. Thank you, Christian, for doing that for us. And I'm excited to see what you do in this one. You know what I'm saying?
You think Christian Coleman could break 4 seconds in the 40-meter dash? RG3 came out and said that I will give Christian Coleman 100K if he breaks 4 seconds in the 40. He's already ran 4:12 and when he's at Clemson in 2017, I believe. So seven years ago, can he break 4?
I mean, shoot, I wouldn't count it against them. Like, I don't really know, but I wouldn't count it against them, bro. Especially if he gets to come out the blocks, you know? Like, why not? Like, I just hope that gets set up and it happens. That'd be entertaining to watch. But go get that bag, bro.
No, for real. I think he can do it. I'm really excited to see what he does in the 100 meter. Noah Lyles saying that that's his only real competition, Christian Coleman in the 100. So it's going to be interesting.
I think RG3 capping though. Like, yeah.
What, you don't think 100K?
You think he might have 100K? You think he's just going to give away 100K? Like,
if this man breaks 4 seconds, that's insane.
Like, yeah. This man just got 100K stored away, just ready to give away like that.
Bro, this man was in the NFL, bro.
Like, I feel you. That's true. But he got bills.
He got investments.
He got bills too. But hey, give that money to my boy. Give that boy the money to Christian, man. Give that money to Christian, I guess, if you got it like that.
Another thing I love to see, California people win. Now, she's definitely claiming Texas and Arkansas more these days, but in her roots, CIF Southern Section, being at Arcadia, being at the Mount Sac Invite, being at the state meet in California, Southern Section, Agora Hills, Tara Davis Woodhull gets her first world championships in the long jump. That's a great moment, being somebody that's 1 year under her and see her win on that level. Cool. And seeing her through high school and college and all the turmoil she had when she transferred from Georgia to Texas, and like now she's a world champion and has all the momentum going into the Olympics after placing second last year at the world champs. Dude, Tara Davis Woodhull is going to be a star. Definitely if she wins the Olympic gold this summer.
Yeah, Tara Davis Woodhull is a superstar. Like, she always has been. She has the energy. She has the charisma. So happy to see her get that championship on her belt. And I'm excited to see her on the Olympic stage. I know we still got to go through trials, but she going to make it. I'm just saying it right now. And I believe she was the first American to win, you know, that long jump title since Brittany Reese, the GOAT. So it's kind of cool. Like, are we seeing that passing of the torch? But hey, we know she got competition now. She got that rival over there.
But still, Monet Nichols was right behind her too, from the USA, them going 1-2 in the women's long jump, which is really exciting to say the least. And it's funny that this comes at a time when World Athletics is trying to change everything in the long jump. So if they do the same thing, like, it's going to be a big topic of conversation. And I just think that Tara's personality has the ability to really captivate fans. So, like, that's why I'm, like, super, even more excited. It's going to be great for our sport to see her do it outdoors.
And Quenisha, too. Quenisha's hilarious. I seen her on the Armory videos with you, right?
Oh, no, yeah. Quenisha, she's funny. She was in the room with us. Yeah, she's funny. That's my first time really talking to her, to be honest, when we did that. That was funny. Her and Jasmine. Yeah. And then next up, things I love. Well, last thing, actually. Wait, did I go through all of them?
Oh, yeah, breaking up a little.
Oh, I went through all of them. That was all the things I loved at the World Indoor Athletics Championships. Now, let me go to the other things, bro. Things that I hated. You feel me? Hate may be a strong word, but, you know, things you hate to see. Things you hate to see at the World Championships. First up, bro. USA losing in the 4x4. Don't like it. You know, hate to see
not
it.
Not acceptable, ever.
Hate to see it. Actually, that's not the case, Eric. But honestly, bro, you know, we want to win, but, like, these teams beat us. Let's be real. Like, we weren't going to... Netherlands, very, really hard to beat if, like, you can't run away from them. And then this dude, Doom, like, literally ran down Carsten Warholm. Like, what were we going to do?
I mean, they have Famiq, you know, on the women's side. So Alexis Holmes ran her down before, though. So I ain't going to say that she can't do that.
But, like, Femke passed her up first, and then Alexis Holmes was... Like, Femke has
the world record indoors right now. She on, okay?
Yeah.
She on. So she wasn't want to let that go. I mean, yeah, bro, that's our event, though. We shouldn't be losing, you know, maybe. But that's what we did. We got a silver. But I hate to see that, too.
That ain't going
to
happen outdoors, though.
Well, how do you feel about the numbers?
We're going to have the guns. We're going to have the guns outdoors. Like, we're going to have
the guns. Who are the guns, though? Who are the guns? Is it, you know? Who are the guns on the men's side?
Michael Norman? Ry Benjamin? Like, if you...
Ry Noah Benjamin, Lyles? Michael, Fred Curley? Grant Holloway?
Honestly, bro, that's... If you have that team too, though, if you had Ry Benjamin, Michael Norman, Fred Curley, and Noah Lyles, and none of them ran the open, nobody's beating that team. But this is the thing about the 400. Like, we didn't even have, like, Vernon Norwood on the team, or Quincy Hall, or even Champion Allison on the team. Like, all these guys that were at Worlds this last past year and were competing weren't on this team. All these guys were really young. So it's just really hard. But, you know, there is that expectation with U.S. Like, we're supposed to win the 4x4. But the guns weren't there on the women's side. We didn't have a thing. We didn't have Sydney. We didn't have even like DeLillo or Shamir Little or even Britton Wilson now. Like, these women, even Abby Steiner, you could say, weren't on the team. You know what I mean? So, like.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, you know, it's always good for, you know, it's also like a way for athletes to get opportunities to develop and be in those situations. So good for them. Like, I love whenever I see Matthew Bolin out there too, though. He's still young within his career. So
yeah, the fact good.
That he's just getting that so experience. Smooth. So but we don't like losing over here. We don't like losing, but it's all good. We're gonna get him when it really counts in the Olympics. You know what
but
I'm
we'll
saying?
Go to that, bro. Since you're excited to talk about it, we'll talk about that. That's what I hated to see too. And to be honest, you know, it's good for the sport, but you hate to see it. Some relay beef between Lyles and Curly. Some U.S. turmoil. We shouldn't be fighting against each other. You feel me? You know what they say? If you open up your palm, you feel me? We're separated. When we come to, when we put that palm into a fist, we're together. We don't want to be. This is too loose. You feel me? With the fingers apart, we want to be together. And no Lyles and Fred Curly, they don't seem together right now. You feel me? This we going into Sunday, we find out Noah Lyles is placed into the 4x4. Track Twitter goes crazy. Track Instagram goes crazy. Goes crazy. Like, why is Noah Lyles running? What's happening here? Grant Holloway putting in, like, what's going on? Like, I've been asking to be on the relay team for years. Fred Curly going on Twitter. He causing a storm. He causing a storm. Wait, hold on. Let me pull this up real quick. I gotta pull this up. What did Daryl Hill ask him? We gotta get to the roots.
We gotta get to the bottom of this, man.
We gotta get to the bottom. I don't wanna.
I got a question. Anybody. But go to that. I got a question. I guess.
No, I got it right here. So, Fred Curly went out there and said, "USATF, y'all play USATF, y'all play that favoritism like that MF. Y'all like puppets for sure. Yes, man. Man, I tell you, last 3 years we've been asking to be in that." F that Olympic storyline. Y'all puppets, no in between either. And then Daryl Hill, big homie, shot putter, went in there. Come on, he went in. Low-key, kind of instigating. I'm not even going to cap Daryl Hill. You're kind of instigating, but also he's asking the question we all wanted to know. Are you saying that when you made the last few teams in the 100 and 200, you wanted to run the relay as well? He put in parentheses, information gathering. Fred Curly said, since 2021. When I was 400, changed my event 2 weeks before USA. Even trying to get on this team, haven't let him on. Noah Lyles was asked about this, and he said, Fred Curly, he could have been here, but he ain't. If he's mad at that, come out here. Mm. I don't like this beef, bro. We all need to be friends.
Can we? Hey, man, shout out to Daryl Hill for that. Hey, appreciate you, Daryl. Hey, Daryl, I saw something Daryl put on the other day on the USATF podcast that he should be a host. Daryl, you welcome on this podcast. I need somebody to send him this. We need you on the podcast because you a funny guy. You funny for that, man. We appreciate you for that. But I mean, the best availability is, what did they say? The best opportunity is availability? I don't know, man. But I mean,
the best availability is availability. I don't know.
Something like that. They say something like that. But you just said it, though. Didn't you not just, hey, and Fred's the homie, but you did just say that we didn't have our guns out at, you know, in the 4x4. So this could have been the opportunity for him to actually get on there. But of course, USATF plays favorites. We know that. I don't know the ins and outs, but we know they play favorites, especially in the Olympic year. I don't know. I guess, do I hate it? No, because we're getting a little bit more insight. And I think it also reflects on what people think about Noah and what people think about what he's doing. I'm not putting any implications on it, but people are getting real rowdy. So maybe people don't like some of the favoritism Noah's been just getting overall. Do I know exactly what that favoritism is? I don't know. Maybe it's a documentary on Peacock. I don't know if anyone else is asking for that, but like, can we say he don't deserve those things? I mean, he is the world champion, right? He won in the 100 last year, and then he also won the 200, and he won in the 4x1. So, I mean, he that dude. He that boy.
I think in this situation, like, both of them are right. Because if Fred Curley, why is Fred Curley not on the 4x4 team? If this man wants to be on the 4x4 team, let him on the 4x4 team. He's one of the best 400-meter runners of all time. Like, I don't got it right in front of me, but I'm sure he's top 10 all time in that event. Like, why not put him on the team? Now, Noah Lyles is also right. Like, he ain't here. So, like, he's not here indoors. But that also goes into the fact, so, yeah, he's just not here. So, like, he doesn't have to be talking. And this is talking about world indoors, not talking about outdoor. And I'm sure it's hard to be on an outdoor team or just have that connection to get onto that team. But it's still like Rye Benjamin does it every year and not even throwing a shot at Rye, because Rye deserves to be on that team. He's one of the best 400 runners as well if he actually ran the event. And we always have a 400-meter hurdler represent, you know what I mean? So, like, it's weird.
Hey, you know, this is what I'll say to defuse the situation. It's not about, it became about Noah versus Fred, but it's really about Fred versus USATF and the politics behind the relay pool. It's not because he doesn't like Noah. I can't speak on that or not, if he likes him or not. But it's about, though, you don't like the politics. It don't work the same for him that it worked for that dude over there. That's all he's saying.
But see, this don't make sense. Fred Curley is the 8th fastest man ever to run over 400 meters. 8th fastest man ever. Why wouldn't you let him run? That don't make sense.
Shoot. That
8th fastest man ever, and you ain't going to let him run. That's crazy. That's crazy. That's crazy. If that's true, that's crazy. You hate to see it. You hate to see it. Another thing I hate to see at the World Indoor Championships was all this falling, bro. All this falling. The worst one, Adam Fogg, 1,500 meter first round. The dude fell in his home country. Seeing him on YouTube days. The Fogg dog falls down. You feel me? Gets the entry into the final. But, like, he fell. Lalo Herrera, another California native, was at Colorado for a few years. He's representing Mexico in his first World Athletic Championships. Falls down the last 100 meters. Really aggressive and physical racing, even just aggressive racing overall. We've seen the Belgium team was pushing on USA. Chris Bailey's back, Noah's back. We're swallowing them from behind. Like, indoors is physical. I hate to see the falling, bro.
It's kind of entertaining to me, though. I like the strategy. Hey, I'm gonna say shout out. That you said that was who? That was Belgium.
That was Belgium.
Hey, I like that. They're just pulling, tugging the jersey. I would do that. That's smart. Like, I never been at a relay line and had to hit the person behind me like that. I've definitely, like, been like, move out the way to get to my person, but that's a great way to, like, throw somebody off. You know what I mean? Young kids,
take legal? Notes. You said young kids take notes. That's crazy, bro.
Hey, crazy. Man, I'm telling you, you got to take that advantage, bro. You got to take that, bro. Did I tell you, when I was in a race one time, somebody grabbed my jersey, bro, as I took off to kick. That's crazy. That was the craziest thing that ever happened to me. I was like, what? This man literally, I was running away and he grabbed my jersey. I was like, that's wild. But just like when you hit people's elbow, when you just tap the back of the elbow, I was like, dang, I didn't know these people were doing that.
You did that?
Tap someone's elbow?
Yeah.
I've done that before, you know. You just boom,
dang,
boom,
bro,
and
dirty, bro.
You can go around them. What you mean? That's the game. I don't know what you mean. That's the game.
He said, "Don't hate the player, hate the game." Come on.
That's what I'm saying.
All right, last thing, bro. Thing I really hate to see, bro. Aaliyah Hobbs cramping up, you know, before the 60 meter final. Even after the semifinal, I was like, she was limping off. I was like, Aaliyah, just don't run. She showed up to the final and then she started cramping up and wasn't able to go out there and do it. That sucks, because not even just for Aaliyah that she wasn't able to race, but like, we got robbed of an even better race between Julian Alfred, Iwa Sadoba, and Aaliyah Hobbs. Like, that would have been great to see with them all healthy and like ready to go. But You hate to see that. You hate to see anybody, but especially Aaliyah Hobbs, to cramp up like that.
Aaliyah Hobbs is definitely a fan. It's definitely Aaliyah Hobbs is definitely a fan favorite. You know, she's someone just great, great energy, always open to speaking. So someone that we love to root for over here. But we've seen she's had some like in some trouble in races. Like I always think back to that false start back in the 2021. Was that 2021 Olympic trials or the 2022? That was 2021. Yeah, and she's dealt with like injuries, so we know how we just know how great and how talented she is. So you always want to be able to see her perform at her highest level at the championship races. But happy that it didn't end up being something more serious, you know?
No, yeah, and we still got to see a really good race. Julian Alford took the victory. Super happy to see that happen. I think she's going to be a serious threat in the 100 going outdoors. It seems like, you know, Sha'Carri won that, and that may have been, like, it seemed like that was going to be a coronation, you know, and things of years to come. And as much as I root for USA, I'm all like, I'm kind of scared for Julian Alford, bro. I think she may just, like, ruin the whole party low-key. She's beast.
No, she is beast. And that was cool because that was the first medal ever for St. Lucia. I think they're saying that was the first global medal. So
yeah.
I think it's always really cool when you have people from smaller countries like a Luis, you know, representing for a country that hasn't gotten to that level yet. And I think it just means a little bit more when you have, like, you know, imagine running for that country. They were saying it's like 100,000 people. Like, that's way bigger than, I don't know, running for like the USA in a way. It's just more intimate, you know? So that's really cool. And I agree with you. I think she's just as good as a lot of these women, like the Sha'Carris, the Talus, and the people competing. I think she could be someone that we look at as getting a medal when it comes to the Olympics.
It's going to be exciting to see her in the one and the two, and it's going further. And it's going to be exciting this weekend too. This weekend, track and field is still loaded indoors, especially here in the States. We got New Balance and Nike Indoor Nationals on the high school side going down. And then plus NCAA Indoor Nationals is going on this weekend as well. Before we get out of here, Aaron, just what are you excited for this weekend? Is there a takeaway you want to talk about for World Athletics real quick? And then I think we'll be good.
Going into NCAAs, man, I mean, I haven't really followed the NCAAs too closely, really outside of the distances this year. But I'm excited to see Nico Young do the 3K, 5K, and see if NAU can win a title based off of distance runners. And that would be like what we talked about a couple weeks ago when Galen Rupp, back in like, I'm going to guess 2009 or something with that Oregon team, they won with a lot of like with Galen winning like the 5K, the 3K, and then winning the DMR. So that's going to be super cool and exciting to watch there. You know, we always talk of rooting for Tenoda Matasa out of Georgetown in the 800. We'll love to see him get an NCAA title. One person on the distance I'm interested to see is Mia Ramsden. She just ran at World Indoors in the 3K, and she's going to come back and run, I believe, the mile for Harvard. So where is she going to land? And then now I'm like, now you got me thinking about a bunch of stuff. I thought I didn't know what was going on, but I kind of do. I'm excited for the 800 to see Michaela Rose, but I'm also super excited to see, like, it's just cool because we follow some of these people in high school. So like Sophia Gorion, Juliet Whitaker, you know, where are they going to be in that 800 race? I'm excited. And then I got to look through the starting list and I got to see if a Kayla Garrett is racing out of Texas. That was one of the Nike Indoor National alums. And then what's our friend? She goes to Texas now. She ran the 800 at JW North. I saw she was doing relays with Texas. Yeah.
I don't know if they made it. Okay.
Or if their relay team made it.
So there's some Nike Indoor National and Nike Outdoor National people that, you know, I need to go check start list, and I just want to see personally if those people are racing. Because if I interviewed you at that level, I'm rooting for you for the rest of my life, like straight up.
No, basically facts. It's basically, but yeah, it's gonna be exciting weekend. Really excited for to see what NAU does on the men's side, because I think that's been for the past like 3 years. I've been talking like Mike Smith. I need more of these titles on the track, and every year they're getting more and more and more. So I think this is gonna be a year where we're gonna at least see about 2 national championships from NAU. I really feel like that. It's going to be interesting. Definitely on the women's side, to see the 60-meter hurdles with Grace Stark versus Jasmine Jones and Leah Armstrong. All 3 of those women are some of the best in the world right now. Oh, that's what we missed. That last one before this, we'll get out of here. I'd love to see Devin Charlton get another world record. That's what I went and missed. She got another world record. That's 2 times in indoor season, dropping it by a tenth of a second, 767, I believe. Devin Charlton did that. Bro, the 100 hurdles get wilder every year. She did that without racing Jasmine Camacho Quinn or Kenny Harrison, or like Danielle Williams wasn't in that race. So all the heavy hitters aren't there, but like, she is making the 100-meter hurdles even more competitive. Her storyline is going to be great into the Olympics.
Love to see it, man. 100-meter hurdles for the women's, 110s for the men's. A lot of greatness. I mean, 110s is dominated by Grant, but still, we've just seen a lot of fast times.
The GOAT, 765 what it was, but... Man, we appreciate y'all rocking with us. Next week, we got a dope podcast that you guys are going to want to listen to, with talking more about Aaron's LA Marathon. And we got a special guest to talk about it all. Appreciate y'all. See y'all next time on Two Club Runners Podcast. Let's get it.